Here we are with another Friday afternoon with our Bible study program. We're looking to finish out our study this week in 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 7, looking at those that are the shepherds in the local assembly of God. Those are the elders, bishops, overseers, pastors. We see in later verses, verses 8 to 13, it speaks of those of the assistants, more or less the helpers, which are called the deacons, but we see the oversight, the under-shepherds. Of course, Christ is the head of the church, but the under-shepherds we see here, verse 1, this is a true saying, and if a man desire overseership, he desires a good work, and it says a bishop must be, and it goes through a list of qualifications. We looked at that yesterday, but now, we'd like to look at some practical ends of those that are in oversight. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to open your word. We pray for the blessing of the reading and the teaching thereof. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So as we're here in 1 Timothy 3, I'd like to read from W. Vine, Greek Expository Dictionary here, give some definitions of the word. We may should have looked at this earlier. We mentioned it, but let's just read it specifically. Bishop, which is the same word for overseer in the Greek. Episcopos, if I'm pronouncing it properly, the transliteration from Greek. Episcopos means an overseer, means to scope out, to look or watch out over others, to watch for them. It has the same meaning as presbyteros, which is an elder. The Greek word for elder is another term of the same person, rather, of a bishop or overseer. This term indicates the mature spiritual experience and understanding of those so described. The term bishop or overseer, however, indicates the character of the work undertaken. So we see different angles that these words all point to the same work, but different areas of description when you say elder, bishop, or overseer. It goes on to say here, according to the divine will and appointment, as in the New Testament, there were to be bishops in every church. Acts 14:23, Acts 20:17, Philippians 1:1, Titus 1:5, James 5:14, are his examples that he points out. Brother Vine goes on to say, where the singular is used, the passage is describing what a bishop should be or their qualifications. Okay, then we see, goes on to say, if we flip over to another part of this Greek definition, same word, it says to look upon, which is found in 1 Peter 5, exercising the oversight. This is the entrance upon responsibility. It's not that really. It says it's not the entrance upon a position, but the discharging of the duties. In other words, we're not looking for men to have titles, but we're looking for men to exercise the responsibility of shepherding the flock. Titles is not what God's looking for. He's looking for faithful men to shepherd and care and look out for the flock. Now, with that definition, we would like to look a little bit more today at just what is the responsibility, not so much the qualifications, but the responsibility of those that shepherd the flock of God. We could turn to Titus, which we'll look at here in a few months possibly, as we continue through the New Testament. We look here, it says that they are to be holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. And then, of course, we turn back to Acts chapter 20, and we see another example, another definition, if you will, of what the leaders in the local assembly are to do. Paul told the elders at Ephesus to take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. That's important, to look at yourselves before God first, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. To what? It says, to feed the church of God, which it tells us then, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And it goes on, Paul was talking to the elders at Ephesus, those who had called the overseers. He said, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn you, everyone, every night and day, with tears. It goes on to say, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. So Paul was exhorting the elders at Ephesus as he was departing from them to not only feed the flock, but he warned them of unsound doctrine that could come in. And we see the responsibility of shepherds to teach the word, to teach sound doctrine, but to also guard the flock from perversion, from unsound doctrine. As we're in 1 Timothy chapter 3, once we get into chapter 4, it speaks of the latter times when some will depart from the faith, and we'll see the unsound teachings that will be prevalent of that time. Now, the need for sound leadership, for shepherding of the flock of God, is so great because of there are many around us that are unsound in their teaching and in their practice. Those that deny the Lord that bought them are good examples. Those that would have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Those that deny the person of Christ are all around us. And we see also that because we have shepherds in our local assemblies, our local churches, this does not mean that the believer that is not a elder or bishop or pastor or one of the shepherds in the meeting, this does not mean that you have not got the responsibility to study the Word, to know the Word, and to be able to give an answer to every man that asks of the hope that's in you. The scripture makes it clear that we all have that responsibility, but the shepherds are there as ones that are more mature and can teach you and help guide you and watch over you. But still, every one of us must know the Word. We should know the Word. When we are confronted in the workplace or at home or wherever someone may come up with unsound doctrine, in the local assembly, we should be sound in the Word and not depend so much on the leadership in the meeting that we just give it over to them and we throw our hands up and just expect them to have all the answers. We need to know the Word ourselves as well. As the ones that are shepherding the flock are teaching the Word and we are giving heed to the Word of God, then praise the Lord, we should grow in the Word as well. And here we see, we've already read in 1 Peter 5 earlier in the week, which gives some indication of the motive of someone that is a shepherd, that it should be done without constraint, not that you're being forced to do it, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, it's not so you can just go out and make money off of the people of God, but of a ready mind. And also, it's not to be lords over God's heritage. We know in 3rd Epistle of John, there was someone who came in there named Diotrephes who loved to have the preeminence. But the other time that word is used is in Colossians, where it says that Christ should have the preeminence in all things, not a man. So the motive for being a spiritual leader, one of the shepherds in a flock, should be to be examples to the flock, not to be lords over God's heritage. So as we see that as motives of those that are the shepherds, we see also back in the book of James is a real good place to look when it speaks of responsibilities of those in oversight. It says here, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing songs. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Now, here is a tremendous passage which indicates that, yes, there's the elders of the meeting that would pray for some that may be deathly sick in their meeting to come together and pray. Now, another example is Philippians is a good place. Well, let's just start back there at Romans and just look at every one of the New Testament epistles, these letters written to the local churches. Paul wrote to the Romans. Let's just look at the introduction of these letters and listen carefully who he writes these letters to. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. And he goes on, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Now, he made no mention of one man at Rome. He made mention to the saints. His concern was with the flock of God. We go on to, we're going to skip over Corinthians, for we already mentioned how there was a lack of any obvious use of oversight there, so they had so many problems there in Corinth, yet there's no mention of any oversight. So if there was any, they weren't mentioned. We go on to, let's go on to Ephesians. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Again, Paul addresses the Christians, not to one man. Here it says, Paul, this is to Philippians, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Notice it says saints, plural, bishops, plural, deacons, plural. More than one of all of them was at the assembly there at Philippi. But again, Paul did not address his letter to one man. We go on to Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Are you seeing what little pattern we have here? 1 Thessalonians, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could go on. We could go on. What we have is this. If there was such a group of clergymen in the early church, Paul sure was rude to them because he didn't even acknowledge them. You know, that tells us that there is no such a thing in God's administration of the New Testament as a clergyman, as a group of people that are lifted up as a higher level of Christians than the rest of the flock. Oh, there are shepherds. We've been studying that all week. Praise the Lord for those that shepherd the flock. But as we see in the New Testament, these letters written to local churches, Paul never addressed to Reverend so-and-so or to Dr. so-and-so. He did not acknowledge any clergy titles. What he did is he wrote to the faithful brethren, to the saints, to those that are in Christ. My friend, if Paul in the inspired word of God didn't acknowledge a clergy system, you know, why do we? The point is this. There are to be shepherds, there are to be pastors and elders and bishops in the meeting to lead the church of God, to discern the will of God, and to teach and to guard the flock. Yes, we need that desperately. But let's not get carried away and lift up men so high that we put them above the other Christians. You know, we are to treat those ones that are in leadership in a good way, though. And it does tell us that we're to know them that labor among us, and we're to esteem them highly, very highly in love for their work's sake. So we are to have a good attitude toward those that are the shepherds. This is Mike Moody with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. RPO Box is 689 Ramsey, North Carolina.